Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So while we face perpetual gridlock in Congress in Washington, D.C., can we, are we, will we get stuff done here at a state level? The early signs are somewhat encouraging that the answer to that may be yes.
Because we know how to be reach across the aisle here, we hope.
Compromise
we
isn't as dirty a word in St. Paul as it might be in Washington, D.C. What can we agree on? What can we compromise on? So we wanted to talk to incoming Minnesota House Speaker Melissa Hortman about some of the things that have already been accomplished quickly, relatively quietly, with Senator Gazelka from the GOP. And incoming Speaker Melissa Hortman joins us today.
Hi, Speaker.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. It still feels weird to be referred to as the incoming Speaker.
That is a strange name. Hi, Speaker. It's a strange thing to say. Get used to it, honey. Get used to it, girlfriend. Let's talk about the things that we can agree on first. Get those out of the way and then talk about where the compromise has to come. It's my understanding that you went to dinner with Paul Gazelka and you kind of hashed out a couple of things. What do you think the House and Senate can agree on?
Well, we agree on a couple of things. The biggest thing we agree on is that all 201 lawmakers should be involved in making the laws. And we think that they should be done in public insofar as possible. So we're going to be counting on our chairs a lot to come to agreement. And our point of view is if our chairs can come to an agreement, who are we to screw that up? So we agreed to first start with that big 990-page bill that was put up for a vote the last night of the session, which Mark Dayton vetoed, and find the things in that 990 pages that everybody could agree were non-controversial and can literally fly off the House and Senate floor with broad bipartisan support.
Like what? What'd you find?
So we agreed that our chairs will delineate that. Some of the things that we talked about over dinner were that allowing Steve Simon to get the federal money to make our election system safer. There were some crimes that we made some adjustments to, just really little technical things. One piece that I carried is if you rape your spouse when your spouse is drunk or impaired by drugs, right now it's a 100% defense to say she was my wife, and we remove that defense to the rape statute. Nobody would have opposed that if it were put up for a vote by itself, but it was wrapped up in this 990-page bill. Another one we talked about, and we're hopeful that Tina Liebling, the House chair, and Michelle Benson, the Senate chair, can find an agreement on, is repealing a 7% cut in pay to folks who take care of people with disabilities. It was something that never should have happened, and we can prevent it if we pass just a simple measure. So we're hoping that will be in the bucket of non-controversial items.
And Speaker Hortman, the opioid epidemic, it looks like there might be some bipartisan support there for solutions.
Definitely. You know, there was a bill that passed the Minnesota Senate 62-5 during the regular session. That provision was not in the bill that we refer to as Omnibus Prime, the 990-page bill. But I do think if it passed 62-7 or 62-5 in the Minnesota Senate, we should be able to bring it up very early in the Minnesota House and pass something a lot like that.
All eyes on health care, certainly hot topics during election years. It certainly was for the midterms. Where do the House and Senate stand on that, and is there common ground?
Well, I think there will be areas of common ground, but that is one of the toughest nuts to crack in public policy. I say it's the public policy equivalent of doing laundry. Even though you might on Sunday get all your laundry done. You have all your shirts hanging in your closet how they're supposed to be. By the next Friday, you need to do laundry again. And it doesn't mean you did it terribly the first time. It just means there's more work to do. And that's what healthcare policy is like. There are a lot of different pieces to it. How do we take care of the elderly? How do we take care of folks with disabilities? And how do we deal with the fact that all of us are getting older? So I don't expect that there will be quick progress there because it's such a complicated issue.
Infrastructure, roads, bridges, you know, everybody wants more money to improve, maintain our roads, which, again, you go elsewhere in the country and you come back to Minnesota. As much as we like to complain about traffic and the condition of our roads, we're in pretty good shape compared to much of America. But it sounds like you're looking for sustainable solutions. And I know the whole user fee. When I hear user fee, Speaker, I think tolls. Am I off base there?
Yeah, I don't think Minnesotans want to see tolls. I think culturally we're sort of opposed to that here.
Yes, all the callers, when we ever have a segment on tolls, they don't want that.
We don't want to become Chicago and
or New Jersey.
Yeah.
I think there's bipartisan agreement on that. So the part that will be difficult to solve, right? Nobody likes to pay more. Certainly those of us when, you know, your roof is damaged on your home and you need to put a new roof on, nobody loves that. But there are certain things you have to pay for because they're important. And how we pay for them will be a difficult conversation. So I don't think the transportation bill will be a something we'll find bipartisan agreement on right away, but maybe it will be earlier in session than the big end of session budget deal.
What are thoughts on how to spend the budget? We might have over $1 billion surplus this year. Do you guys agree on how to use that money? Will some of it go for roads?
Well, we've kind of all seen this movie before. Generally speaking, Democrats would like to spend more money on education and healthcare. And generally speaking, Republicans favor letting the private market run a little bit more unfettered, so they like to see tax cuts. And so I at the end of the day, I think you'll see some increased spending in education and health care, and you'll see some corporate tax cuts with everybody getting a little piece of what they want to get done. I think the thing that's really different is Paul Gazelka and I both see that the other person has to get a win in order for there to be a compromise. There have to be some win-win solutions where each of us walk away and we say we're happy with what we got out of the deal. Neither one of us see it as a win-lose thing, where in order to feel successful at the end of session, we have to feel that we've denied the other person any victories on any issues.
Speaker, so many cities went bonkers trying to attract the second headquarters for Amazon. But I think, you know, on a much smaller scale, what can we do to attract more businesses, good businesses, more entrepreneurs, small business? What can we do to create a playing field that attracts more companies to Minnesota and gives the startups that are out there a fighting chance, maybe a better chance of surviving and being able to employ a lot of Minnesotans?
Well, Minnesota's secret sauce has always been a highly educated workforce. Mm-hmm. People, as you know, don't move here for our wind chill. They move here for a workforce that they can really count on day in and day out. We are a very hardworking people. We have the highest labor force participation rate in the country, and we generally have a very well-educated population. So I think we stick with our strength. You know, in corporate management speak, we call this the hedgehog concept. What a hedgehog does is he's really good at being a hedgehog. And if you stick to what you're really good at, then you're more likely to be successful. So I think that means making sure that the University of Minnesota is accessible to students who want to attend there, making sure our state colleges and universities are excellent places to get job skills training. And also, I think what we could do a better job of highlighting all the training opportunities through the skilled trades in Minnesota. They have fabulous training opportunities, lots of them paid opportunities, and I think it's kind of the best kept secret in Minnesota.
Can we agree on environmental issues? Is there any bipartisan agreement? When I think Minnesota, I think, forgive me, I think quality of life. I think about our lakes, our rivers. I mean, we have something amazing here, and we want to keep it that way, right, for our kids and our grandkids. Any possible bipartisan support on common sense measures without raising taxes to make sure that the Minnesota DNR, the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, have the budgets they need to keep our lakes and rivers as good as they are or better?
I think lakes is an area where we could see some bipartisan agreement. I know, Senator Gazelka is from really lakes country, where the beauty of the lakes is the most significant economic asset of the community. And we're really in danger in a lot of our lake associations of seeing too slow of progress to protect the lakes from some of the threats. So I think that that's an area you could see collaboration. And we've got a great track record of working together on the environment in Minnesota. The renewable energy standard that passed in 2007 passed with overwhelming bipartisan support in both chambers. In 2008, as our country stared down the face of an impending recession, we all chose together to raise our sales tax, a tiny little increment, to pay for clean water. So I think there is a lot of common ground on clean energy and clean water. It just depends on how we exactly do it.
We've seen a lot of special sessions lately. You guys have to pass a budget. How confident are you we're going to get it done on time?
I'm hopeful that we will get it done on time. I'm meeting with Senator Gazelka often and meeting with Governor-elect Walz tomorrow to talk about setting some interim deadlines. Whenever you have a really big project, if you only have the one deadline of when that big project is due, you can't expect to get it done on time. So what we need to do is create some interim deadlines that we make public, and then the public forces us to meet so that we have interim deadlines that show that we're making progress towards the end. I think in the last 4 years, we've seen kind of everything get saved until the last minute of session, and that's not been good for getting things done.
Is there anything for you personally as the incoming speaker that will make this a successful session for you?
I think having the public see what's going on a little bit more. My first term was 2005-2006, and Republican Steve Swigum was the speaker. And the way that Republican Speaker Swigum ran the institution, he believed in open committee process, conference committees that were given targets, and that made decisions that the public could see. So I will feel really good about the session if we bring the public back in and they get to see us doing our work as we do it.
Full transparency sounds good to me.
I like it, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, incoming Minnesota House Speaker Melissa Hortman, thank you for joining us today on CCO. Good luck.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you, Speaker. She should get used to that name.
Speaker. Yeah.
That's right. I like it. It's also 523.
What's that line from Anchorman? I'm kind of a big deal.
Kind of a big deal. We'll have them on. We'll hold their feet to the fire. We'll have Paul Gazelka. He's been on with us before.
Yep.
We'll ask how they're doing. We'll ask if they're meeting their deadlines. We'll keep that transparency here through the radio. We want to aid in that. Get things done around here.
That's right. All right.
It's also 5:23. We'll be right back here on CCO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.